Hello, Pisces, and welcome to part two of your 2019 birthday reading, now known as Astrology Studio, but I keep forgetting to call it that. Welcome, and thank you. So, interesting times, isn't it? I'm here looking at a chart for a kind of a triple event that is the epicenter of Pisces astrology this year, and that is the combination of the Pisces new moon, which is conjunct Neptune in Pisces, so Sun, Moon, Neptune, and Vesta, as well as Uranus entering Taurus. That happens on the 6th, as does the new moon. And then right before that, Mercury stations retrograde in Pisces on the 5th. And that's these are all particularly fishy events, especially the new moon and the station retrograde of Mercury. Mercury gets a lot of extra points because it is stationing retrograde in the very last degree of Pisces, one of the most beautiful degrees in the zodiac for a number of different reasons. And so there is about to be this, what I'm thinking of as a review phase of our lives, at least going back around maybe 5 years. But I think with Chiron now having left Pisces, it would be wise to take that review phase back to around 2010. And I know that we're not that good at looking back, honestly, that our culture does not teach us to do that. It doesn't provide any real resources for review and evaluation. Instead, what we are encouraged to do is to be stuck in the past and obsessed by the past, but not to seek any understanding of the past. So in this reading, which will go for about 40 minutes or so, and I have placed some section dividing music right at the middle, so we'll have a natural breaking point. I'm going to cover all of the points I've mentioned. The sign change of Chiron, the sign change of Uranus, the retrograde of Mercury, and the new moon conjunct Neptune. I think among those points, you'll have the lay of the land. As you know, I tend to use outer planet transits, except when there's a really important interplanet event, to map out the four corners of the reality that we're dealing with. I believe in the previous section of the reading, I looked at the events in Capricorn. I'm likely to touch on those again, because they are events that are suggesting that you pay particular attention to your social environment for both social and professional reasons. So let's start with the new moon and work our way out from there. There's a new moon in Pisces every year. On rare occasions, there's two. There's one very early in the sign, in February. But this year, there's one, and it's happening right at the midpoint of Pisces. We're in a run of new moons that are happening at the midpoint, right in the middle of the sign. And it just so happens that there's already a conjunction happening at the midpoint of Pisces right now, and that is the conjunction of Neptune and Vesta. So the alignment, the cluster, is going to be Moon, Sun, Neptune, Vesta. And it would be challenging to invent a chart that were more Pisces than that. The whole thing takes place in Pisces, and the modern-day ruler of Pisces is involved. That would be Neptune. And then Vesta itself has a number of themes that relate to Pisces, including its theme of service, its other theme of sacrifice, and then its unusual orientation on erotic relationships. So Vesta is a rather erotically charged planet in all of its different themes, but it also carries the theme of the unusual relationship orientation. The kind of stuff we're hearing in the public realm about sex, gender, and relationships would make you think that everyone was about to come out as transsexual tomorrow, and that all men and all women hate each other, and that there is there are two options: hooking up and marriage, and all this stuff. And this reminds me of like if you go to Paris, which I hope you do, and if you see the Eiffel Tower, and you go to the Louvre, and then the first thing you see is the Mona Lisa, and then you take one of those little cruise rides on the Seine, have dinner. You haven't really seen Paris. The way to see Paris is to go off the main streets at about like 5 or 6 o'clock at night when it's cooling off and getting interesting, and get lost in Paris. That's what you have to do. You can't get that lost in Paris, especially in these kind of neighborhoods like 5th, 6th, 7th. And you explore. And this is really the truth of the relationships that we live. The options that we're seeing described in the New York Times and being discussed on various Facebook groups have very little to do with the way that actual human beings live. And when Vesta is active in your chart, which it is now because there's going to be this positively glorious new moon conjunct the modern ruling planet of Pisces, Neptune, which is conjunct Vesta. I don't know how often that happens, but not very often. The theme is the unusual nature of your relationships. There really is no normal in relationships, and there really is no normal when it comes to what people do with this thing that they call sex. There is more or less culturally acceptable. There's more or less legal. The legal is much less of a concern for you because you're exceedingly unlikely to ever enter that territory. But what is more challenging is the nature of society's expectations, and that includes what people are talking about today, but it more includes what you were told was supposed to be true when you were very young. And if you find out as time goes on and you get older that the things that you were told were supposed to be true when you're very young happen to not be true, the nature of marriage, the nature of relationships, the nature of male-female coexistence, the nature of bisexuality and homosexuality in all of their different permutations, the nature of having a household. And you discover that you're different than the things that you were told were supposed to be 100% ironclad truth. That can be a little strange. And when Vesta is in the picture, one of the things to notice is the non-normal, the distinctly different experience of relationships that you might be having. You won't really read this about Vesta many places, but what I have found from listening to a lot of clients describe the total history of their relationships, which is something I've had unusual perspective on over the years, because so many particular women, but some men, have told me their whole story of their relationships, is that when Vesta is prominent, there is something extant outside the realm of expectations of what's supposed to be that way. And Vesta ends up doing a lot of holding space for other people to have their growth experiences. Now, this is sometimes an honor. It is sometimes just the thing to do. And sometimes it's damned annoying when you have to always be holding space for others. And so one of the things I'm pointing out here is that, first of all, is a possibility. Second, that the thing to do under this astrology is to make sure that you are holding space for yourself. Now, holding space has two main connotations. One is, you know, you protect the space, mental or otherwise, for something to happen. Like if you're in a meeting and you're a very strong Vesta type, you're the person who's going to make sure the meeting is well facilitated and that the rules are followed. There's another kind of holding space for Vesta, which is holding the space for an individual having an unusual experience of transformation. And it's very similar. There is that sensation of keeping the other things away, standing guard in a loving way, and making sure that the right thing happens. But now we need to make sure the right thing happens for you and that your space is protected. And this is something that you're going to be the main person who has to do this. It can't be up to others right now. Though it would seem that others will be gradually taking an interest in this. And I can see that from the fact that Mercury is going to be spending a lot of time in Pisces. It's been around, I don't know, maybe about 3 weeks so far. I don't want to stop and do the calculation, but there's going to be another 3 weeks of the retrograde of Mercury, and then another 3 weeks of the station direct phase, where Mercury stops, stations direct, and goes through, and finally comes out in Aries. That's in about 6 weeks. So it's a long stretch of Mercury in Pisces. And Mercury happens to be the planet that represents your relationships. And so there may be some additional help and support available. One of the things that is the most significant to hold space for right now, as far as I can tell, is your experience of growth and transformation during the late Chiron in Pisces phase. I can hardly believe that this is over. Chiron has moved on into Aries. It seemed like just a moment ago that there was the triple conjunction of Chiron, Neptune, and Jupiter in late Aquarius, if you can imagine such a thing. That was amazing. And that took place. Now I'm going to go to Sprite and look this up, because it's an important reference point for the potential that existed and the sense of optimism that seems to be so rapidly diminishing in our moment of history. There's a real struggle with optimism right now, and it's truly tragic. And I don't mean hope when I say optimism. I mean the ability of people to get together and make the most of a situation and to be able to see some of the positive outcomes. And though it was a tense time economically, the winter solstice of 2009, 12/21/09, was an amazing time astrologically. On that day, there was a quadruple conjunction of Chiron, the Moon, Jupiter, and Neptune, all in Aquarius. And so that might be a point of retrospect, to go back 10 years. One of the reference points that I'm using is the conjunction. Yeah, so I'm tracking another winter solstice event. This one is in 2020. So anyway, in 09, there's this big conjunction that I suggest as the reference point for going back to the review. There has been a lot of water under the bridge, and for anyone where Chiron is the dominant influence, there are going to be transitions, healing crises, rebirths, numerous transformations, relentlessly. This is likely to calm down some. It is not that life ceases to be challenging in the way that life is almost always challenging these days. It is that there is a certain element of pressure taken off of you. The two things to remember are these. One is that you still have Neptune in Pisces for many more years. And Neptune in Pisces is a kind of a go-to-sleep influence. Whereas Chiron in Pisces for you is very much a wake-up influence. And so you need to be the person who keeps waking yourself up. You can't depend on circumstances. You can't depend on other people. And the healing crisis property of Chiron is, you know, moving on to other sectors of your life and focusing more distinctly on other people. So you're the person who has to bring the constant commitment to alertness and to awareness. The other thing to remember is that there remains a centaur planet in your sign, and that centaur planet is Nessus. Nessus in Pisces is connected with our culture-wide obsession with victimization right now. It's the perfect illustration to put Nessus, which raises all these questions of intent and appropriateness and consent, all straight out of the myth of Nessus. It's like, you know, this shit's been being written about in Greek myths for thousands of years, and we're still dealing with it today. And so to put Nessus in Pisces is the perfect sigil of this crisis over responsibility. And on the highest level, on the most evolved level, Nessus is about taking responsibility for yourself. So there is potentially the need for accountability for everyone involved, but ultimately, you have to take responsibility for your experience, which gives you the power to choose and direct your own experience. That's the gift of Nessus, which is a ultra long-term visitor in Pisces, will be in Pisces long after Neptune and other slow-moving points lurking in the background have moved on. So that's the what I would say is the new point of consciousness orientation. And you've learned enough from Chiron and Pisces these past 9 years to be able to make the most of Nessus as long as you don't fall for the seemingly mandatory victim trip that our society is on right now. And I do recognize there is an element of temptation, but I consider it temptation on the level of something like racism. It is not a virtue. It is a wake-up call. And Nessus merely asks that the buck stop with you, that when you are handed something to deal with, you deal with it. All right, let's take a short break, and then I'll be back with more about Chiron in the second, and Uranus in the third. That's exciting, and a bit more about your 11th house. We are in one of those, not exactly rare moments, but only occasional moments when there are multiple simultaneous sign changes of slow-moving planets. And right now, this late winter, there are two that are taking shape, one being Chiron, previously mentioned, and the other being Uranus, that I've mentioned a couple of times also. And that alone would be enough. Only it also happens that there are two relatively lesser known points that have changed signs in Capricorn. One is called Quaoar, Q-U-A-O-A-R, slow mover out by Pluto. And another called Pholus, P-H-O-L-U-S, a centaur planet like Chiron. So, Though the New York Post horoscope won't be talking about Pholus and Quaoar, won't talk about Chiron either, doesn't mean they're not influential and operating in the background. And, you know, most of the astrology you'll read on the internet will not make any reference of these two points, but they are part of the background of what we're going through right now, of the ways in which society is changing and changing very rapidly. And so we have four points changing signs within a few months. Second, we're all under the influence of the ongoing and about to peak conjunction of Saturn and Pluto. And that peaks on 1/12/20, which is quite soon. It's in this solar year, and the conjunction as of the new moon is only about 4.5 degrees separated. So it's pretty close, and we're under its influence. And so these five factors combined, four planets changing signs, or just having recently done so, plus a major conjunction taking place in the all-important sign Capricorn, mean that society is changing, our lives are changing, and the ground is shifting. And since I've mentioned that, I want to mention the challenge that it takes to be alive in these times of constantly shifting ground. It is worse than that, really. We live in what Marshall McLuhan called a maelstrom, where the intensity of the data and the changes and the overall intensity and the crisis, whether it's us or someone else close to us, is like a cyclonic storm that just won't let up. And I want to acknowledge how challenging that is for all of us. We humans are not made for this much change this fast. And I would point out that a great deal of it is connected to this kind of overindulgence in technology, the uncreative, unconscious uses of technology, and the fact that we are basically swamped in this environment, and we are not made for it, and we have not had time to adjust to the last five changes when a new change comes over us, and the gods of these technologies seem to care less and less about the impact on whatever it might be. It is now all a game of power. And you are one of those people who is particularly sensitive to your environment. And I would urge you to be mindful of your sensitivity and also to not get too swept away in how wonderful the changes are, because they're not necessarily so wonderful. They may be just change, and it is necessary in any event to address the fact that these changes are happening rather than go unconscious. All of that said, the changes are described by the sign change of Chiron into Aries. This is for you about self-esteem and money. There's no way to separate the second house from either of those themes. And when you put Chiron someplace, there could be a little crisis. And the crisis could be either financial or involving self-esteem in some way. And my theory of the second house is that these things are related, that the respect that you have for yourself is one of the best indicators of whether you'll be able to navigate the financial environment. So, first of all, remember that you're going through a reorientation, and I suggest that you go through that consciously. That means really consciously getting to know yourself. And it means looking at the places where you have certain deficits of confidence, of respect for yourself, of your ability to tap into and access your resources. And we might say that the key, a Chiron concept, the key of accessing your resources is to use what you have and to know what you have and to get into the habit of searching within yourself for what you need before you go anywhere else. This also includes, searching your home or your office for what you need before you buy something. It can mean providing a need for yourself before you seek it from a relationship partner. There's something about a kind of radical self-sufficiency with Chiron in the second and with Chiron in Aries that will awaken you to an unusual level of your potential connected to your resourcefulness. There is another factor in Aries. I'm not sure I mentioned this, but I'm mentioning it other places a lot, and I would suggest tuning in, for example, you know, to the Planet Waves content stream, is Salacia in Aries. And there is something here about making contact with self-respect on the level of your sexuality. This is under nonstop assault right now for everyone. There's a lot of cultural influences that are telling people what to do, who to be, and what is right or wrong that may have nothing to do with your personal, even personal stringent ethics about what is right and wrong. And there is an urgency for you to consciously make up your own mind and to not be bossed around by the ideas of others, which might strive to tear you down in some way. And I would say this, whatever your sex or gender orientation might be, because all of these different orientations are under extreme pressure right now, and it is getting nasty. I don't know what media you read. I work with a group of news readers who provide me with a lot of things I would have normally missed, and it is pretty harrowing out there. And I don't think that there's anyone who is escaping apparent judgment right now. And there doesn't seem to be anyone who's not in a position, therefore, to be told that their whole existence is wrong. And that is not true. It's just simply not true. And you are in the position where you must make your mind up about what is right and true and relevant for you as a sexual being, and then as the reality of your sexuality expands into your relationships, expands into your actual human encounters. You remain in the role of working with the people in your life to determine what is right and wrong for you personally. This is not a matter of public discourse and public opinion, though you may well be influenced by and affected by the public discussion. I suggest you recognize it for what it is and not get too caught in the numerous propaganda campaigns that might tell you that you're you know, not queer enough or bad for being quote unquote cisgendered and all this stuff. That's like, where the fuck did all this stuff come from all of a sudden? That we're now no longer worried about, you know, people who have been denied rights and marginalized having those rights. Now suddenly everyone is subject to being told they're supposed to be someone that they're not. And I am personally deeply sensitive to this issue, and though I don't sound it at the moment, verging on livid that this is happening, and that there is so much ignorance that this is all based on. And so one of your most important possessions is going to be your knowledge about yourself, about what you want, about your body, about your feelings, about your relationship options, and to remember that with Vesta so prominent in your chart this year to remember that there is no normal. There's no deviation that you're supposed to bow down to. That someone else's normal is not your normal. Now, Uranus, moving into Taurus in the third, emphasizes this point as well. And the point that's emphasized by Uranus moving into the third is that your ideas are changing, and they're changing because you're changing. It's not it's not directly a coefficient of somebody telling you to change. You're just waking up in a whole new way. And the beauty of the third is it's about what you think, but it's also about what you express. And the calling, it would seem, the beauty of this transit is that you get to express yourself in more daring ways. So if you're thinking you've got something to say, you've got something to make, you've got an art installation you're doing, you've got a thing you're writing for someone or for yourself, go the distance. Don't leave any stone unturned. Let your most original ideas out. And I assure you that you will be having original ideas. The thought of not having original ideas with Uranus moving through your third is laughable. But there's something about you that is a little old-fashioned when it comes to presenting yourself. And I would remind you that when you are presenting strange but true or radical ideas, revolutionary ideas, whatever you might think of them, that for you, the presentation is vitally important. To present yourself in a way that is well packaged. It's a little like if a person's wearing a nice outfit or a suit, you can be taken more seriously. So remember that presentation counts, and that presentation in that impeccable style of Taurus gives you freedom to think in bolder ways. Now, a reminder of the 11th house transit, that you are living in a world that is changing, and because all this Capricorn stuff happens in the 11th house, your house of your social orientation, right? That's the 11th, is the groups that you find yourself in. It could be anything from a theater company to the people that you work with, to your circle of friends and their friends, to the community that you're in and activities in your community, to any groups you belong to. Does anybody belong to groups anymore? Has that like disappeared with the gone world? There is so much change there. There is so much, that's where the earthquake zone is in your chart. The earthquake zone is in your 11th house. Check that out. We'll put a listing of the houses on the resources page for this reading. The 11th is the house of the society that you occupy in the most immediate sense of that. You know, you walk into a restaurant, you know somebody, that's the 11th house. It's not the entire city of New York. You know, it's not all of LA or Brooklyn or something like that. It's the accessible concept of the world around you. And this is the earthquake zone, because it's the zone of Saturn and Pluto, and then these new little weird planets, Pholus and Quasar, which are acting like accelerants. And so, though it seems difficult to be quote-unquote authentic, it seems dangerous, right? There are people who are saying these are very dangerous times to really be yourself. That's just not going to happen. You're not going to avoid being yourself because it's dangerous to be yourself. So, devil be damned in this case. As long as you do your best to present yourself in a polish it up a little bit, and you can say whatever you want, and hold people to the reasonable position of a reasonable discussion. Not always possible. Not always possible in social media, which tends to get more insane by the day. But this is the experiment that that will be your life for a while. And the ability to be honest with yourself about your true sexuality, this is going to be the power source. Psychically, energetically, and financially, to not be in denial. Who needs that, and what fun is it? I don't think it's any fun at all. One last thought. Bandmates are arriving. One last thought in a second. One last thought, which involves Mercury retrograde in your sign. The Sabian symbol for the last degree of Pisces is one of my favorite of them all. And I don't, you may notice, I don't really obsess over the Sabian symbols like some astrologers do. I prefer to use them selectively, and I have my favorites. And one of them is the last degree of the zodiac. And it's in your sign. That's good for you. And the symbol is a reference to a story called The Great Stone Face by Nathaniel Hawthorne, an old-style short story back from maybe the 19th century or something like that. It involves one of these mountains where there's a man's face profiled in the mountain. Maybe you've seen that. It's supposed to be one in New Hampshire. They have them in different parts of... I guess everywhere there's a mountain range, that's going to be one of these things that the locals have noticed and cooked up. And the story is a child grows up looking at this thing and takes it as his ideal. He sees something admirable in the qualities, the human qualities in the profile portrayed in this landscape feature. And he grows into this image, this being. And there's a lot in this metaphor. This is a rich metaphor. For example, you know, aspiring to be like the earth. Forget about the fact that it's a face. It's a face carved out of a mountain by nature. And so it's about aspiring to be a more natural person. And the mere fact of having an exemplar, that means it's very, very important. I know that people look up to people for different reasons, and, you know, there are still people who are looking up to Oprah. And like with other elements of your astrology, I suggest you get off the beaten path here and find natural exemplars. People who you can meet, who are lower to the ground than A-list celebrities. There might be some that you respect in that regard, but remember, you don't know these people. And you would be wise to hold as an example someone who you have access to, someone who cares about you, someone who recognizes you when they see you. This thing of looking up to others, I think, is vitally necessary in the human experience, and it's also abused by people who know that others have kind of a need to look up to people, and then they, you know, insert themselves in that role and take some measure of control. You know that when you see it, and choose people whose qualities you understand and admire, and it would be very helpful if you had an understanding of what they've been through. What got them to that place? So that your respect has a holistic quality. And remember, they're who they are, and you're who you are, and it is in some ways healthy to aspire to ideals, and then, you know, you want to make sure that you're, you know, basically grounded in the process of doing that, and that there's deep sincerity. So all in all, big changes, and in the world, and you are in the position of responding, and very fortunately, your orientation on life is changing, and you've made it through this very long, challenging Chiron transit. If you were born in the 1960s, it included your Chiron return, born from about 60 to 68. Your Chiron return was in here. That is something that's worth understanding if that happened to you. But this is now a new phase of your life, a whole new concept of living post Chiron in Pisces. All right. On that note, thank you for your business. I highly recommend the intelligence readings. The Pisces written one is done. It is, it's a beautiful thing. And there's an hour of audio that comes, hour and a half actually of audio that comes with it that does a lot of detailed looking back and then also looking forward. And so if you're using astrology as part of your spiritual path, that might be helpful. In any event, happy forthcoming new moon, and thank you for trusting me as your astrologer. You know where to reach me, but if you don't, EFC@bookofblue.com. Thanks. Love, and bye for now.